Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
For a people who pray to God in our joys and in our sorrows, let us pray together this morning in song that God enter the space as we worship together. We'd like to sing 353 in your Mennonite hymnal. Lord, listen to your children praying. I changed the song because I really like this one. 353, and we'll sing it twice. Let us stand, please.
Good morning. Welcome to our service this morning. A special welcome this morning to our guest speaker, Dawn and Elizabeth Grad. Please turn in your bulletin for our call to worship this morning. And we'll read it as it is written there. Come, let us seek rest at the altar of God. Blessed are those who dwell in God's presence. Blessed are those who trust in you, O Lord, our home and our provider. Let's bow for prayer. God of grace, we come with all we have. Bodies, souls, minds, all here to worship you. We have come for a glimpse of your kingdom of kindness, a world where love rules over all, a world where enemies embrace, distinctions between friend and foe evaporating in the light of your love. We dedicate this hour of worship to you and to your kingdom come. Amen.
Like to sing some praise songs now. And I was thinking, you know, being song leader up here, I get to choose what I want. And I thought maybe we should have a suggestion box because you have favorites too, and we don't get to sing them. So it would be really nice to have your ideas and we can sing them as well. Anyways, I will call upon the Lord, sing the journey number 19, the Green Book. It's a call to praise God. Let us stand.
Thank you.
And God of the Bible, song number 27. Like Lois was saying, Sunday is a day other than the rest of the week, I think. It's fresh today. We put our mind somewhere else. We think about why we are here. Let us sing 27.
The ushers, please come forward for this morning's offering. Let's pray. Lord, let our congregation be a witness to you, immersed in scripture, constant in prayer, joyful in worship, and generous in giving. A loving, supportive community reaching out to those in need. Accept these gifts we offer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, let's pray together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
When we ask God to be in our presence, it doesn't always happen right away, I don't think. It can be very slow, like in our song when we are going to sing about raining. It can be a fine mist. It can be a downpour. We don't always feel it right away. But we can trust that God will enter us, our lives, and this place when we pray to him. So we'd like to sing 49, Rain Down, and sing the journey. And the chorus part, if you want to oo, do the ooing part, that's the harmony, or sing the words with me. I'm going to sing the words, and you can choose what you would like to follow, or just read the words as well. Let's stand, please.
Thank you.
This morning's scripture is from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going.
Our speaker for this morning is Don Grad, and his wife Elizabeth is here also. They were majors with the Salvation Army. On the back of your bulletin, you will see more information about them. We look forward to hearing what you have to say to us this morning.
I need to stay organized. You don't want me to go off my notes. We could be here a while, but no, seriously. It is a wonderful privilege to be with you folks and to be able to share in worship with you today. And my wife and I feel quite privileged to be able to join you, and I feel very privileged to be able to share the word with you this morning. Whoops. And I must, just before I get started, I'm not sure, how long have these logs been here? A couple of years? If you read my bio on our bio on the back, prior to being pastors, I was in forestry and parks, and my wife was a registered nurse. And I love trees. Like, after we'd been in our careers about 3 years, 3 or 4 years, God called us to be pastors. And so we said yes, because God is always right. I mean, you know, sometimes it takes a while to learn that, but he's always right. But I still love trees. And so when I came in here, the first thing I noticed was these two big logs at the front. And I thought, wow. Oh, there's three more back there. Wonderful. Anyways, I just had to pass that on. The one thing I miss from forestry is chainsaws. Seriously, we in the park, we had to cut down diseased trees and different things, and I had so much fun with chainsaws. I haven't used one in decades, but anyways, that's just an aside as we begin. And before we consider God's word, let's just have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you, we thank you. You are amazing. You are holy. You are almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Father, as we look into your word, we pray that you will just translate it as would be good for each person here. And Father, for each person that will watch on live stream or on a video or a recording later, you will translate in a way that will be good. And Father, may your speaker's words be yours and true. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for reading, wherever you were, John 14. And my thoughts today come from Psalm 125. But it ties in with John 14, because he's telling his disciples not to trust him, not to be afraid. And in Psalm 125, verses 1 and 2, it's only five verses to the whole psalm, but in verses 1 and 2, let me just turn this thingy on. Oops, nope, wrong one. Okay, there we are. Psalm 125, verses 1 and 2. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. When I was asking God about what to share this morning, this passage kind of came to me. And after I'd been looking at it and thinking about it for a little while, you know, you don't always see stuff when you read. You never have that problem. But when I read, sometimes, you know, we just read past words. And it wasn't until I'd been working on this for a few minutes I thought, like Mount Zion. I'm going to Zion Mennonite. You know, it's one of those delayed sort of reactions, but that's why I always tell folks, read scripture slowly, because it's so easy to just read past words, or read past words that, well, yeah, okay, I know that word, and I'm going to keep going. But they, at the top of the, or underneath Psalm 125, it says, a song of ascents, if you're looking in your Bible. And the old city of Jerusalem was located on a plateau, but it was surrounded by mountains all around it. And you can see the, that's a topographic map, but the outline of the old city of Jerusalem is in black. But on the right and the left, which is east and west, there are two big valleys and a valley that goes to the south of the city and a little bit of a valley to the north, not quite as much. But all around Jerusalem, you have a valley and then you've got these hills, these mountains. And so Jerusalem is kind of sitting there like a little plateau, more or less. And then there's a valleys on the east, south, and west sides, kind of almost curling around like a horseshoe. And so Jerusalem is literally kind of this city set on a hill. And some of the mountains and the hills around it go higher than it, some, you know, just as high. But it, you have this sense of Jerusalem being very special and almost surrounded and protected. Let's see if this works. Whoops. Okay. A little bit more sensitive than I thought. I had the privilege of going to Israel back in 2011. I don't know, anyone here gone to Israel? Good for you, Lois. Oh, good. Good. We have a couple. Maybe you recognize, but this picture is taken from the Mount of Olives. And you see it goes down to a valley. That's the Kidron Valley. And then it rises back up to the east wall of Jerusalem. And that valley is about 400 feet deep. And to put that into perspective, Sask Landing, that valley is about 400 feet deep. Except Sask Landing is like a big U, whereas this is more a V shape. And but it's, there is that valley all the way around. Let's see. And this is looking southeast. That's the Kidron Valley. But you can see how Jerusalem sits like a plateau, and it's surrounded by a valley and hills all around. And it's kind of fascinating, because if you're standing on the Temple Mount, go back. The temple, well, you see the Dome of the Rock, but to the right of the Dome of the Rock is the Temple Mount. It's a very flat space. It's, I don't know, it's huge. But when you're standing there, you can't help but be impressed to be surrounded by all these mountains or hills. If you're from BC, you'd call them small hills. If you're from Saskatchewan, they're big mountains. And that's okay. You can turn that off to our nice AV person. But if you put yourself in the sandals of someone going up to Jerusalem, going to Jerusalem, you literally have to go the last half mile uphill. And so as they were going to Jerusalem for one of the festivals, they would often sing some of these songs of ascents. And they would sing them in joy and in praise to God. And now you would be coming from the surrounding areas, but that last half mile, you're going uphill. You were going uphill. And then a key word in here in verse 1 is those who trust in the Lord. And the Hebrew word for trust is batak. Maybe I didn't say that right. If there's any Hebrew scholars here, I apologize for how I pronounce. But I was reading, and a key concept of this trust word batak is to hasten for refuge. To hasten for refuge. That's what God calls us to do. To hasten to Him for refuge. That we can trust Him. We can rely on Him. Because the other concepts of this batak, trust word, is to rely on, to be confident of, to feel secure. And friends, I hope that brings a certain amount of excitement to your brains, to your hearts, to your spirit, that God calls me, calls you too, but he calls me, you, each one of us, to hasten to him for refuge. And my wife is always laughing when I preach, because she says, if you tied my hands, I'd be hopeless. I couldn't preach like that. I can't preach like this. But anyways, that's beside the point. But we have the privilege of being able to go to God with the little things of life and the big things of life. And we're talking spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially. We can hasten to God for refuge. Hasten to God for refuge. Now, trust and faith are, we can sometimes use them interchangeably, but they have little different concepts to each one. Hebrews 11:1 has this definition of faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We can think of John 3:16. You know, God so loved the world that he sent his son that... Oh, goodness. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, we know it, but when I'm standing here, it goes blank. But the idea... We believe in his son, Jesus. We believe he died on the cross for our sins. We believe he lives today to help us. And when we believe that, we have everlasting life. So faith is that belief element. And Psalm 40, verse 4 says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. And the idea being that we're blessed because we believe in the Lord. We've believed in Jesus. We've believed in his death on the cross. We know that our sins are forgiven. We believe, and then because of that, we can trust. And I was looking at your Zion Mennonite statement of faith, and in article number one, it says, we believe that God exists and is pleased with all who draw near by faith. By faith. When Elizabeth and I were ordained, we had to be able to recite from memory. Is it 11 or 13? 11. Okay, see how... we had to be able to recite... We had to recite the 11 statements of faith of the Salvation Army as we were standing in a group to be ordained. Did you have to do that? Oh, that's a great line. We believe God exists and is pleased with all who draw near by faith. A little story. We have, if you've read the back, we have two biological daughters and three that kind of adopt as each. We've adopted them, but. Our daughter, Sandry, daughter number two, she was probably about 10 years old. We were in Banff camping, and on this particular trip, my parents from Ontario had come out to join us for the camping trip. And as you usually do, on your first day in Banff, you go to the information building. You get maps, you get information, you know, whatever. So we did that. We left the information center. We're about three blocks down the main street of Banff. And suddenly, I'm not sure if it was Elizabeth or whoever, looked around and said, where's Sandy? And suddenly we realized, we left her in the information building. And Elizabeth said, don't worry. She'll charm one of the staff. She'll probably have a sucker in her hand watching a video by the time we get back. But my mom, she panicked. And she says, we got to go get her. We got to go get her. And I've never seen my mom run. But I did that day. And we said, don't worry, Mom. She'll be fine. Anyways, we got back to the information booth. We found Sandy with a sucker watching a video in some corner of the information building. And she just looked at us, kind of, I don't know, annoyed. But she said, I knew you'd be back. But Sandy had trust in her parents. She was confident she could rely on us to look after her. But Sandy had faith in her parents because she knew we loved her and we would never abandon her. So she had faith, and because of that faith, she had trust. But I still remember that line. I knew you'd be back. And she wasn't worried. I can say she had some of the staff wrapped around her finger and they'd given her some candy. When I share that story, though, I share it with a bit of a caveat, because not everyone comes from a good family background. So I always want to recognize that. With our work, especially with addicts in the downtown of Vancouver, we heard some horrible family stories. And so if your family life was really bad, I pray that you still trust God and don't let any of your family life limit your ability to trust God, our Heavenly Father, because that's so important. But we do want to acknowledge that. And I know in Swift Current, there's families that are, they're not good. But I just mentioned that, and I pray if that relates to you in any way, that you can look beyond that and look at God in faith and trust. Because God is, we read it in Scripture, He's the Alpha and the Omega. He was in the beginning, and He'll be in all eternity. And when we put our trust in God, we have stability. We have stability. Now, that doesn't mean life is going to be fine and we're never going to have another problem. Now, I have often said to folks, if you ever hear a preacher say, one Jesus pill and life is unicorns and diamonds forevermore, run. The Bible does not teach that. Now, the Bible does say we can trust Him in everything. He does say He will help us. He does say He will show us a good way to live. But He never promised we'd never have a problem. But we can trust and hasten to God for refuge. Hasten to Him for refuge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because like the mountains are solid. Mountains or whatever are covered with some bed or with some gravel and stuff. But if you're ever on bedrock that goes like down, like that stuff is solid. Like that stuff ain't moving. Now, my daughter's a geologist, and she would tell me that all mountains erode over the centuries as time goes by. But for my lifetime, it's solid. Like and God uses that image. We have stability. He is solid. We can count on Him. Of course, as I say, life will sometimes have its troubles. Sometimes where there's fear for something, there's anxiety about something. Maybe someone's disappointed us, and let us down. But God's saying, you can still trust Me. You can still trust Me in all those circumstances. And as you pray and talk to Me, I'll show you how to walk through them. And yes, God's still in the miracle working business. But sometimes we learn more by walking through something than if He just took it away. But we can trust God. And we're not trusting in religious ritual or anything like that. And I love churches with a bit of liturgy. I said to Elizabeth as we're starting this morning, I really like a call to worship. And I'm not sure who wrote. Do you write those or someone else? But wherever they come from, whether it's a liturgy or a whatever, I like a call to worship. I like some of those sort of elements of liturgy. But we're not trusting in our rituals of liturgy. We're not trusting in any particular ritual of religion. We're trusting in God, the one we have faith in. And because we have faith in Him, we can trust Him. Because it's a relationship we have with God. When we believe in Jesus, we enter into a relationship with God. And again, your Zenonite, your Zion Mennonite statement of faith, number 6, has human beings have been made for relationship with God. That's cool. And it goes on to say to live in peace with each other and to take care of the rest of creation. But human beings have been made for relationship with God. I don't know if you read your statement of faith very often. It's really fascinating. And I always read the statement of faith before I come to a church. Not that I think you're heretical and you worship goats on Sundays or anything like that, but it's just interesting to read it. And I would encourage you to read it. It's online, and it's fascinating stuff, and it's just good to remember what we believe and understand it. But we are in relationship with God. We have faith in him because we've trusted in Jesus to forgive our sins. And we are in relationship. Because we're in relationship, we can trust. My daughter could trust because she had a solid relationship. She knew Mommy and Daddy loved her. She knew that we weren't going to abandon her. And so when we came back, she had been perfectly calm. She was not scared or anything else. But she was doing exactly what Elizabeth said. She's going to charm one of the staff. She's going to be watching a video with some candy. But she could remain calm because she knew who she trusted. She knew we loved her. And I like this image of the mountains, of how they surround Jerusalem. And it's really a neat feeling when you're standing there on the Temple Mount, of God surrounding his people. Isaiah 49:15-16 says, even if a mother could forget her nursing baby, God will not forget or forsake us. God has engraved us in the palm of his hand. And I was thinking about that. If you take your palm and you just cup it like that, and you can see the mountains around Jerusalem, and Jerusalem's in the middle. And this is not really very accurate, but this is my little man I made. But if you can picture yourself in the middle of the palm there, I don't know if everybody can see that, but if you can picture yourself in the palms of God's hands, that's pretty secure. That's pretty secure. And that's just a wonderful thought. That we are carved in the palms of God's hands. Now, we got to be careful. We can't, you can't take that literally per se, but that's how much he cares for us. It's as if we're in the middle of his hands. And I mean, God, in other verses, Luke 12:7, I love this one. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. I love that. My wife says he has to do a recount for me every day, but he knows me that much. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows all about you. It's like we're in the palm of his hand. I don't know how God can do it, but he can hold 5 billion, or what are we up to, 8 billion people now? He can hold 8 billion people in the palm of his hands like we're the only one. He loves us that much. And so when we trust in the Lord, we have this security of knowing that we're in the palm of his hands, no matter what storms we face. And just before I go much farther, and I know this is going out on the internet, but if there's anyone here today or anyone in internet land, and you don't know for sure that you have believed on Jesus, I would encourage you to do just that before this day ends. To say, God, I believe you. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. God, I believe you. You want to live in my life. I believe that you want to show me a good way to go and a good way to live. Father, I thank you that I can be secure in your hands. Psalm 46, again, says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength. Now, to be honest, we don't always feel strong. We have times when we're worried. We have times when stuff is just going crazy in our life, whether it's illness or something else. But we can trust God. He says, "Hasten to me for refuge." You know the words of John 14:1. He talks about, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." And then he went on to that lovely description of, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you." Thinking about missing words, John 14:6, you know, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." In Nipawin, back in the 80s, we were at the Nipawin Church of the Salvation Army, and we had a kids group, and we did Bible memory verses. And I remember this one fellow, John, a nice kid, but didn't remember very easily. And he tried really hard. And he came up to Elizabeth, "Mrs. Grad, I've learned my memory verse, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but me." Did you notice the word that's missing? Now, Elizabeth had to laugh, but at the same time, she was so proud of this young guy because he had memorized that. And she said, she gently said, "But you need that word, but by me. No one comes to the Heavenly Father but by me or through me." But you know, when we read the Bible, when we read the Word, I pray you read the Word every day. We need to know this. This is God's instruction manual. Did I hit that? Anyways, this is God's instruction manual for life. We need to know it. We need to know it. So when mistruth in our world or people say things, "Oh, this is what religion means," we need to know our Bible. We need to know that I can trust God because of His promises in here. And I'd also throw this out, that we each know people in Swift Current who don't know the trust in God, who don't have that hope, who don't know Jesus. They might know about Him. They might use Him when they're mad and they're swearing. But they don't know Jesus. They don't know that trust in God. And I pray, let each one of us be ambassadors for Jesus, that we can share the hope and the trust that we each have. That we each have. A Baptist pastor by the name of John Shearhart, he had this quote, "Trust in God is not a statement we make, but a life we live." Trust in God is not a statement we make, but a life we live. Just one more story and I'll finish up. When we were in Nipawin, 1988 or thereabouts, we bought a 15-year-old van. We're going to use it to go camping. It's an old 1973 Chev van. And it needed some work. I had to do some body work on it and a few other things. One of the things I had to do was fix the brakes. I've been mechanically inclined most of my life. I don't usually shy away from stuff. Sometimes I get into things and I realize I shouldn't have, but that's another story. But anyways, I said I'm going to fix the brakes on the van. I had a mechanic friend. He described how to do it. He wasn't there when I did it, but he described how to do it. So I take the back brakes off of the van. It's those old drum brakes. And guys, I don't know if you, or ladies, maybe, if you've ever replaced the brakes on a vehicle that has a drum, the brake pads are in there, but it's like a jigsaw of little springs. And so, anyways, I took the old pieces off, I put them on the ground just the way they were supposed to go, and I put the new ones on so it looked like what I put on the ground, and I put it all back together, and I said, I've done it. I get into the house, and I said, "Elizabeth, I fixed the brakes on the van." And she says, "Oh, good, I knew you could do it." And I said, "Okay, let's go for a drive." And she got in the van. That's trust. But I use that as a silly story, but God wants us to trust Him. God wants us to trust Him. That that we with whatever we have, but also trust him to know the way to go. That's why we need this book. He says, I know a good way for you to go, and I want you to walk in it. And sometimes God has to maybe speak to our heads or to our hearts and say, you trust me, so let me talk to you about this sin or this habit in your life. You trust me, and I'm saying you need to change this. Because part of trust is being willing to hear from God and to respond to him. To hasten for refuge. May God bless you with his word today. I pray that you know and you trust him this day. And I always finish my messages. I've been doing it for, 20 years, with a question. And it's a serious question. I don't know if when the last time someone asked you this. How is everything in your soul today? How is everything in your soul today? I pray it's encouraged. But I also pray that if God's been talking to you about something, you won't sort of push it away. You'll respond to him. How is everything in your soul today? May God bless you richly. Just close or finish the message with a little word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are amazing. We love you and we praise you. Father, we thank you that we can hasten to you for refuge. You are reliable. You do not change. You are all powerful. And we say thank you. Father, just bless each person here with just your word of truth that you know they need today. And Father, even for those who watch this on the internet, Father, bless them too. And may they be encouraged by your wonderful reliability. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Don, for those words and encouragement and challenge and the question to search our soul. The song of response is a song he picked, 343. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Let's build our lives on Christ, the rock. We'll sing verse 1, 2, and 5. And also I want to say God bless you and Elizabeth in the work that you continue to do. Let's stand. 1, 2, and 5.
for the benediction. Please remain standing. Just the familiar words from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Go in peace and in a blessed week. Amen.
And to follow, that was like the benediction. We'll sing a benediction. Sing the journey 73. The Lord lift you up. We'll sing it twice.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 1151-7309. All rights are reserved.